I'd like to introduce you to somebody. My dear friend, Drew. That's him, right there. He's a pastor at a church in town, and he also really likes college students, so he helps out around here. For those of you who came to retreat, he spoke at Fall Retreat, and I trust him with a lot of things. And so, Drew, the floor is yours.
Hey, guys. How's everyone doing tonight? That's not a good response. How many weeks left in the semester? Four. Is there anyone who has no idea how many weeks are left in the semester? You're in trouble then, so get ready. So tonight I'd like to share with you from a parable that Jesus teaches in the Gospel of Matthew. But I've been thinking about my time here in Ashland. As Sadie said, I'm a pastor here in town, but I've lived in Ashland for the last 10 years of my life, which is crazy to think about. And I came here to seminary. That's when I first moved to Ashland, and I've tried to move out of Ashland several times since then, and it has not happened. And so for those of you who are here now, beware of this very real thing we like to call the Ashland Vortex, and that is that some of you get caught up in it, and you will try to leave, and you won't be able to. This is someplace special, so as the signs say. So I've been here for 10 years, and moved here in the fall of 2009 to begin seminary, and I met one of my good friends throughout my time in seminary. His name was Quinn, and Quinn was smart. He was intelligent. He was someone who should go to seminary on that perspective, but Quinn had one problem. He didn't like to do his homework. I'm not joking. So he always struggled to do his homework and to work ahead to the point that he's writing 10, 20-page papers the night before they're due, and I'm not talking about like finishing them, I'm talking about starting them the night before they were due. And just to give you an idea of how Quinn operated, him and I were taking a class together, and he said, all right, you're going to hold me accountable, you're really going to help me work ahead, get things going. And so it's about 3 weeks away from one of our papers being due, and I said, all right, Quinn, let's go to the library, we're going to look up some sources for our paper and stuff like that. He's like, okay. So I go, I find a few sources I want within 10, 15 minutes, go sit down. I'm sitting there, 45 minutes goes by, an hour goes by, and Quinn is just going up and down the bookshelves of the library. He can't figure out what he wants to choose for his topic, and much less what sources he's going to have. Finally, after an hour of wandering the library, Quinn finds a couple of books. He sits down across from me on the table. He opens up the book, looks at the first page, and just goes, I can't do this, and closes the book and leaves. It's like, Quinn, you just wasted an hour of your life. Not only are you not working ahead, but you waste an hour of your life. So that's my friend Quinn. He gets to the end of his time at seminary, and like usual, he has one final project he has to finish. And he hasn't started on it yet. He graduates in 5 days. Quinn knows he's not going to get the project done. So he goes to the professor and he says, you know, I'm not going to get this done. And the professor says, you know what? I don't have to turn in grades until the end of the month. Just go ahead and walk at the ceremony. As long as you get it to me by the end of the month, you'll be good. And so Quinn walks that Saturday. 3 weeks later, I get a hold of Quinn and I said, hey, did you ever finish that project? And Quinn says, no, I didn't. And I said, well, what's going to happen now? And he said, well, my professor told me that he'll give me another month to get the project done. And I was like, okay. So then it gets to the end of the summer and I text Quinn and I said, Quinn, did you ever get that project done? And he goes, no. But the professor told me that I have until the end of the week to get it done because that's when he has to submit grades because the new semester is going to begin the week after that. And sure enough, Quinn got the project done, sent it to the professor, and 2 weeks later in the mail comes his diploma, and he has graduated seminary. And I remember, as I lived through this with Quinn, thinking to myself, this is not fair. This is not fair. Everyone else met the deadline, and Quinn gets all summer to finish this project, and he still gets his diploma. Now, I'm sure all of you have had moments in life where you have said, that's not fair. I can think about 30 times I have heard my sister say that about me, and that's not true. Everything's always been fair in my life, all right? So, and all of you are laughing because you know that's not true. And we've all said that, whether it's with our siblings, maybe it's in class, maybe it's at work, whatever it may be, we have all made that statement before, right? Can everyone admit to that? I have said, that's not fair. And I wonder, what does the Bible say about that? What does Jesus think about when it comes to fairness? Does Jesus even like us asking that question? Saying that, making that statement, that's not fair. And so this evening, to talk about that question, to talk about that statement, I want to read to you one of my favorite parables that Jesus ever says. And it will be up on the screen. It's Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have been born, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. And to that parable I say, that is not fair. That's not fair. That the people who only worked 1 hour gets paid the same as everyone who worked all day long. That is fair. What is Jesus doing here? What is Jesus trying to say? And the thing is, Jesus tells us at the beginning that this parable tells us something about the kingdom of God. That this somehow describes what the kingdom of God looks like, which is what Jesus came to bring to the earth, the kingdom of God. And he says it's like a landowner who pays people, from my perspective, unfairly. And so what's happening here is this. The Jewish workday was 12 hours, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so when it came to farming, you got hired on a day-to-day basis. All right, it wasn't like that you had a job, a steady job lined up that you knew you were going to go to each day. You went to the marketplace, and someone would come and say, you, go out into my field and work. And so obviously your goal is to get hired right at 6 a.m. because the longer you are out in the field, the more you are going to get paid, right? Getting paid by the hour, getting paid by the length of the day. And so you would want to get hired at 6 a.m. So the landowner goes out for the day and he finds the workers. 6 a.m., hey, I'm going to hire you and I'm going to pay you a denarius for the day, which was like the standard wage, minimum wage for the job that they are doing. And so Jesus, or the landowner goes out, he hires these workers, they go out into the field, they're going to get the denarius a day. So what happens is 3 hours later, the landowner realizes, hey, we need more workers to get the work done for today, the day. And this was usual. So he goes back into the marketplace and he hires more people. And what he says to them isn't that he's going to pay them a denarius, but he says, I will pay you whatever is right. I will pay you whatever is right. And so the workers are going out into this field thinking that this man is going to pay them fairly. They're trusting him that he will give them a fair wage for the work that they've done for the day. And so he does this again a few hours later, and he does this again a few hours later. So let's just think about this for a minute. All the people who are going to work out in the fields that are your laborers, your average laborers, they all gather in the marketplace at 6 a.m., right? They want to get hired at the very beginning of the day. And so you're looking at the crowd, if you're the landowner, and you're trying to figure out who you want to hire. And so you're essentially judging people. And you're looking at this person and saying, well, that person looks strong. That person looks healthy. This person, I've known them. They worked hard for me before. I'm going to hire them. So the idea is this landowner comes. He hires who he wants. Well, there's other landowners, right? And they're going to come, and they are going to hire other people as well. Other people that look strong, other people that look healthy, people that look like that they are going to be good, hard workers. And so the idea is at 6 a.m., the best workers are going to get chosen, right? You're going to get the best workers out into your field. So then 3 hours later, when you hire more workers, okay, they're not the best, they're not the 6 a.m. workers, but they make the second cut, right? So a few hours later, it's gonna be winnowed down again, right? It's not gonna be the best, not gonna be as good as the people we hired at 9 a.m., but they're gonna be better than the rest, and later on, and later on. And so the landowner keeps doing this. And finally, we're told at the 11th hour, meaning 1 hour to go on the workday, he still needs more workers. Now think about it. These are the people that have been sitting there all day and have been passed up as other landowners have come in and as those landowners have returned to hire more people, and they've been passed up, meaning that there's probably something wrong with them physically. It means that they're probably not the best workers that are out there. And this landowner comes and he says, why are you here? Well, no one's hired us. We'll still go out into my field. They don't even get promised that they're going to get paid. But hey, you can go work for an hour. You wonder if they're thinking, hey, maybe we can just go work for an hour. We won't get paid. But if we work hard this hour, maybe the next day he will hire us right at 6 a.m. And so they have a chance, they have an opportunity to go out and work that last hour. And so it comes time for the payment. And this is where things get interesting. Because the landowner tells his foreman, go pay everyone, but pay the last first. Wait a minute. These people just got here. They've only put in an hour and they are getting paid first. Imagine if you're someone who's been there since 6 a.m. You've been there for 12 hours working in the field, doing manual labor. You want to get paid and go home. That's what you want to do. 6 a.m. is going to come awfully early again to get out into the marketplace so that you can possibly be hired for another day. And he says, pay the last first. And so the foreman goes, and at the landowner's instructions, he pays the last. The people who have only worked 1 hour, he pays them a denarius, which is what the landowner had promised the people who he hired at 6 a.m. And so now think if for a second, again, let's go back You get hired at 6 a.m. You've been told you're going to get paid a denarius for working all day. And you see the people who have been hired last, who have only worked for an hour, they get paid a denarius. Now, how many of you are thinking, I am going to get paid so much more? I would be thinking that. In fact, I'd be doing the math and saying, I'm walking out with 12 denarii. Because they just got paid a denarius for 1 hour, and I've been working 12. And then the workers who got hired at 3 o'clock come up, and they get paid a denarius. Not four, or not three like they should get paid. And then the noon workers come up, and they get a denarius. And then the 9 a.m. workers come up, and they get a denarius. And then the 6 a.m. workers come up, and they get a denarius. And as the other workers kept getting paid, I can only imagine that the 6 a.m. workers, their hearts were dropping. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna get paid exactly the same as everyone else. We've been out in the heat. We've been out here for 12 hours. The last workers, not only did they work just 1 hour, but it was the cooler part of the day, and they get paid the same. And they complain like any of us would in that situation. They complain. But you know what they say? Instead of just saying, that's not fair, instead of just saying, how can you pay them that much, or how come you're not paying us more? They say, you made them equal to us. And so now all of a sudden, we see that's prejudice, right? These people who aren't as qualified as us, these people who are handicapped, these people who aren't the best workers, these people who are lower than us on the totem pole, you are saying that they are equal to me. How dare you? How dare you say that those people are equal to me? They struggle with the idea that the money meant that they were equal. They didn't like the fact that there was an equal reward for everyone. But the landowner, though, he's just wanting to be good and generous and gracious and bless people who are in need. But yet, everyone else is standing back and saying, how could you? And so the landowner says, friend, which is interesting because the workers are not acting very friendly at this point in time. Friend, did I not pay you what I said I was going to pay you? And think about that for a moment. The landowner at the beginning of the day said, I am going to pay you a denarius. And here we are 12 hours later, and what has he paid them? A denarius, what he agreed to pay them. Yet they are complaining as if they didn't get what they agreed to. That they deserved more than what the landowner originally said he was going to do. And so what we see here is their issue really isn't that they didn't get paid fairly as much as they are just jealous over the fact that someone received a bigger blessing than them. The landowner hasn't done anything wrong. He's living up to his word. He said that this is how much he was going to pay you. He never even told the other people what he was going to pay them. He's lived up to his word. The workers' rights aren't being violated. The landowner is not being unfair. Instead, he is being gracious. And what we see here is that the spirit of envy, the spirit of jealousy, does not go along with the spirit of grace. because that's what this landowner is being. He is being full of grace. So what does this say about us? I mean, after all, didn't we kind of agree with the first workers that this wasn't fair, that this didn't seem right? What does that say about us that we are offended by how unfair the landowner is acting? And I think what that says is that our minds and our hearts and our wills are more in line with what this world tells us than what God tells us. That if at the moment that someone receives a blessing, that someone receives grace, which the meaning of grace is that they get something that they don't deserve. That's what makes it grace. That when someone gets something that they don't deserve, we're left saying, well, that's not fair. Well, here's the thing. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to see a lot of people get something they don't deserve. And so you better stop the jealousy you are going to have when that happens now. Or else you're really going to struggle to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. Because there's going to be time after time that he pours his grace out on other people, and it's not going to be you. And you can either celebrate the fact that he has poured his grace out on those other people, or you can be jealous and get offended and get bitter and get resentful and angry at the fact that you didn't get that. But here's the thing. The fact that you're able to see someone get blessed in such a way, that's God being gracious to you. The fact that you are even in the room to see that happening, God has been gracious to you. There came a point in time where someone was looking at you and saying, why are they getting that and I'm not? But at the same time, this is also called the parable of the workers. And so what the workers teach us is this, that jealousy is not permitted in the kingdom of God. Jealousy is not permitted. The rules and values of the marketplace that the landowner has taken us out of does not work in the field of the landowner. He doesn't want to hear about the marketplace. He doesn't want to hear about who has the better skills, who has the better gifts, who has the better talents. He doesn't care about any kind of social hierarchy at all. When the people are out in the field, they're all his workers. They're all receiving the same blessing. They're all receiving the same payment. I think what's happening here is that what Jesus is doing and what Jesus is saying is that the grace of God is so unpredictable, it's so unknowable, it's so unmeasurable, that when he tries to describe it to us in the story of a landowner who goes out and hires workers, we struggle to understand it. We don't get why it looks that way. The grace of God is going to be a mystery to us. And at times, we're going to get jealous because of it. We're going to get upset because of it. We're going to have envy because the grace of God is not working in the way that we say it should work or the way that we think it should work. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not allowed in my kingdom. So I went to a conservative Christian college for my undergrad degree. And we had chapel every day. Trust me, you're lucky that you don't have chapel every day, all right? But one of the neat things that they would do is every year they would have seniors speak in chapel. And it was always some of the best chapels of the year. These people who had been to the school 4 or 5 years, and they could just talk about their experience, share something from Scripture, and it was always a blessing. And so my senior year, I applied to be a senior speaker. A lot of people encouraged me. A lot of people said I'd be great at it. And I ended up not getting it. Applied, got rejected, and that was that. Disappointed, but I didn't at the same time really care that much about it. And then one day we get the email saying who the senior speakers are going to be in chapel that year. And I hate to say this, but when I saw then who was going to be the speakers in chapel that year, I did care. I did care that I wasn't chosen. And then one of the people who was chosen over me got up at their chapel, stumbled over their words, had a bunch of long, awkward pauses. You could tell a lot of times lost their place, where they were in their sermon and in their notes. And I remember thinking to myself, that person got chosen over me. That is not fair. That's not fair. That they got to go up there and butcher this. I wouldn't have done that. I would have been better than them. I deserve that over them. Jealousy is not permitted in the kingdom of God. Jealousy is not permitted in the kingdom of God. Sometimes people who aren't as talented as you, sometimes people who aren't as skilled as you, they're going to get opportunities that you longed and wished to have. I can tell you this, that was 10 years ago. That's happened to me a lot more times in my life since then. It hasn't stopped. And it's going to happen to you. That you're going to be left saying, they didn't deserve that. I could have done a better job than that. Why do they get that? Don't you understand that I need that, and yet this person who has everything, they get it all? Jealousy is not permitted. In the kingdom of God, the last workers get paid same as the first. And in the landowner's eyes, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. And so tonight, as the band leads us in a time of worship, do you want people to come up and have for prayer? Okay. And as the well leaders come up to pray over you, I think there's two things we need to pray about. One is, I think, obviously, we need to repent of our jealousy, right? But the second thing is, we also need to become people who celebrate God's grace. That it's not enough not to just be like, okay, that happened to them, I'm not going to get jealous about it. But instead, we celebrate the fact that that happened in someone's life. Even if it was the thing that we wanted to happen in our own life. So those are the two things I want us to pray for. But before that happens, let me pray over you guys. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your son told these stories that challenge our thinking. Lord, most importantly, we thank you for your grace. The fact that your grace allows us to hear such a challenging story. The fact that your grace brought us in this room tonight. But Lord, what I pray for over this group is that as we experience your grace, as you pour out your blessings upon us, and that as we see your grace and blessings poured out on others, that we don't get jealous, we don't get envious, we don't get upset, but instead, Lord, we celebrate the fact that you are moving in someone's life. And so, Lord, I pray that we repent tonight. I pray that we turn our lives around to no longer be people who are jealous, but people who celebrate. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.